You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Thrilled to be joined once again by Pat Kerwin. He of NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. That's weekdays 3 to 7 during the heart of the season. They even do a Saturday show. And then he works Sundays for good measure with CBS's NFL Today show. Pat joins us once again courtesy of Pinchers, Tampa to Key West, all points in between. Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. Well, man, a hell of a lot's happened since you were last on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Yeah, it's been quite busy, and a lot of people want to officially say it's over, but it's not. There's still plenty of guys. And so what do you do now? What the pathetic world I live in, you start looking at who still needs a lot of stuff. And I was working on offense last night and part of this morning. So, I mean, I still have six teams that need a starting left tackle. And when it comes to tight ends, we have six teams that don't even have more than three on their roster. So they're going to be taking a fourth and a fifth. And so you go down, centers. There are six teams that only have one center on the roster. Yeah, one of the guards can play center. But you're trying to figure out, is the draft going to set up good for them? And I'm sure you want to talk about Pittsburgh, because I've enjoyed my time talking to Omar over the weekend.
Well, talk to us about the Steelers, because now, you know, they bring in Russ. He's going to be the starter. They clear out the entire quarterback room, and they bring in Fields. So what's going on in Pittsburgh, Pat?
Well, it's first off, I said to Omar, you know, congratulations to you. You got two quarterbacks that are legitimate players. Well, I don't particularly think Fields is ready to win games, and I think he's proven that with 10 wins. But for his salary and Russell's salary combined for this year, you're like $4.5-5 million. And you've got two quarterbacks. Number two, you don't have to flip offenses to get Fields ready, because whatever you're doing with Russell will be suitable for Fields as well. Number three, Fields has never really sat in a quarterback room and learned from anybody. Russell's anal now. He's a hard worker. He's very disciplined on his preparation. And he's the opposite of Justin. As my friends in Chicago would say, Justin kind of just wants to wing it. And Russell will not wing it. He is on top of what's going on. So it'll be a good relationship for Justin. He'll get a lot out of it. And then the team's going to have decisions to make. What are you going to do with these guys? I don't think Justin will get on the field unless Russell gets hurt. But how are you going to – I know Russell's agent. Russell's agent is going to ask for $55 million next year. So they might have to go with Justin. So get them ready. What a tutoring opportunity to get them ready in case it goes that way.
Pat, without divulging what you can't divulge, did the Steelers at the end of the season come to a conclusion that their quarterback room wasn't any good, or did this just kind of happen? Because, like, in theory, Denver could have kept Russ. And so in theory, maybe two of the three quarterbacks in the room for Pittsburgh are still there, or with those offseason meetings – you know, Tomlin was unhappy. The Rooneys were unhappy. Is this one of the things they decided, like, hey, we need to stop messing around. We need to get a proven quarterback.
Well, Mr. Rooney told him he was tired of not winning a playoff game, and he made that public. Number two, you can speculate who you think's going to become available, but you have no guarantees, so you really have a hard time saying, well, we're just going to wait and we'll take Russell. I think they're pretty sure they thought he'd get released. They didn't really know what was going on with Fields. And so you have these ideas of what you do. Oh, you wake up every day. Here's the truth. You wake up every day and say, can I upgrade the roster today? In December, you couldn't say that. Can we upgrade the roster? No. In January, can you say no? Now you get to when Russell's released, and all of a sudden when you ask that daily question, can we upgrade the roster? The answer is yes. And for $1.2 million, you can really upgrade the roster. And so I think Pickett was never totally embraced. I don't think everybody was really on board to take Pickett. I think it was a very late decision to take him. And they had a chance to upgrade. And then the whole situation with Justin, and I had said something to Omar. I said, hey, you got a third for Pickett. Turn around and give it to Chicago. And obviously, Omar knew better than me. I said to Omar afterwards, that's why I retired. I would have given him the third. You got him for a sixth. So you're smarter than me.
Well, did Chicago screw this up, Pat? I mean, at the end of the day, they ended up getting a sixth that could be a fourth for Fields. If they would have traded him earlier, was there an opportunity to get more? How do you look at Chicago at the end of the day on this Fields deal?
Well, they love to blame the former GM, whoever that is, because they keep rolling GMs through there. But the truth is, this team's got an MO the same way. It's a tough city. They put their quarterbacks on the field too early because they don't have a real starter in front of them. So they throw him out there, and they destroyed Trubisky, who, by the way, went to the playoffs twice, and they still ran him out of town. So you kind of knew this was going to happen sooner or later. And with the first pick in the draft and them very interested in the quarterback, I think they kind of thought Fields wasn't going to be here. I kind of laughed when I heard, well, we did what was best for Justin. Your job isn't to do what's best for Justin. Your job is to do what's best for the Bears. So if they left compensation on the table, now they could have said, we don't want him in the conference, or certainly we don't want him in the division, just in case Minnesota called. But yeah, it's like a lot of things in Chicago. Name the quarterback they've ever had that's a great player. I mean, I always have to tell Jim he's one of them. Jim still has the longest tenure of the 400-yard game, but they've never been a quarterback operation in modern football.
Well, and speaking of which, Pat, I mean, they actually have a decent roster. They've certainly upgraded the offensive skill players. The offensive line now, I don't know if it's good, but it's at least league average, where for most of the last 3 years it's been woeful. I mean, if they had a veteran quarterback, who's going to be the Kurt Warner for their Eli Manning, if you know what I mean? The only guy out there who's done anything in the league is Tannehill, right?
He's it. And then you're down to Wentz after that. And I remind myself, Wentz was a starter in this league. So, and he played pretty good in Indianapolis. The irony of it all is, what would we three be saying if, when Russell Wilson was released, the Bears went and got him for $1.2 million?
We'd say they're a playoff contender.
Yeah. So shame on them for that one. And then they gave Fields away. So they're going to put a rookie out there. Here we go again. Do they have any way to put anyone on the field but their draft pick? No. So they're going to put the rookie out there. And this will be round three of three first rounders in a row on the field too early.
So Robert Griffin made some noise yesterday saying that Caleb Williams should pull an Eli. Listening to you talk, Pat, that's not the worst idea for Caleb Williams. I know he won't do it, and I know you got to go play for the team and all of those things, but the way you're describing Chicago right now is that this isn't going to work for Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I would draft him if you were me and I was Chicago. I've said that on this show already. I like the LSU quarterback better, period. But you better take the guy with the most readiness, because he's going out there. You better take the guy with the most college experience. You better take the guy that relates to pro football the best. And so I'm not so sure it is Caleb, but if they take Caleb, he'll be on the field. And in that city, they'll start booing on the first interception of his rookie season, because a lot of those people like Fields, and they're not happy with what happened. I get the pulse of that all the time from Jim. So, yeah, they're kind of put themselves back in a bind here. There's no veteran they can bring in now, but they could have gone and got Russell and said, Russell, it's all yours. We got these receivers. If you come, we're going to take Marvin Harrison. They could have said a lot of things, and we'll keep Justin behind you. How ironic that the Fields and Russell combinations in Pittsburgh, a team that knows how to win.
Pat, you know the points chart. You've been involved in deals like this. So Minnesota trades back into the first round, so they have two firsts, 11 and 23. How high can 11 and 23 get you without having to add anything to it? Because they don't have a second rounder this year, and they don't have a second rounder next year. Can 11 and 23 get you to four?
It can get you to five, maybe four, but I doubt it.
Okay.
What are you getting a four for? The first three quarterbacks are going to be gone. The guy you can get at four in the QB world is probably going to be there at 10 or 11.
Well, I know. You move up because you're afraid somebody's going to move in front of you and take QB four. I mean, that's why.
Here's my first question on that. Who is QB four?
Well,
I don't know.
No one knows.
I think Penix. If you were to ask me, I would say Penix.
I'm a Penix guy too because he throws a pro football. But
that Michigan game scared the hell out of me.
I've heard more bad mouthing of JJ McCarthy by Viking fans than anything. The fans aren't right all the time or any of that business, but they don't think of it that way. So Jim and I spent a lot of time yesterday on comparing this draft quarterbacks in order, and you can give me 4, 5, and 6 in any order you want, to the 2021 in order. And you just tell me what you see, because the 21 draft, as we all know, it's been well publicized, has been a disaster. Outside of Trevor, everyone else is gone or never played. And now we're sitting looking at this draft, and I'm just trying to calm all these people down. They talk about quarterback 4, 5, and 6 like they're good, like they're going to start and win. I go, you want to take a look at that other class and put it up against it? So we matched them all up. Trevor Lawrence beat anybody in this draft for the number one quarterback. And then right after that, pretty shaky ground.
So you're convinced we're going to go quarterback, quarterback, quarterback in this draft? You don't think that the Patriots would do something different?
Well, I went through quarterbacks as a drill, and so here's how I see it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams need a number one quarterback. 6. They need to get a real starter. And then after that, you start looking at who needs a number two, a veteran who can play off the bench. Detroit needs a 2. New Orleans needs a 2. The Rams need a 2. Then ask yourself, who needs a developmental guy? Okay, and you start looking at that. And you start realizing New Orleans needs that guy. Chicago clearly needs that guy. Kansas City needs a 2. Detroit needs a 2. It keeps going on. Rams need a 2. So you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks. But we're going to take guys in the first round that should not be ones. Love them, Christian Ponder. He always reminds me of this.
Oh, don't get me going with 8, 10, and 12 in that draft. He's Pat Kerwin. NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, weekdays 3 to 7. And he joins us twice a week, courtesy of Pinchers. Tampa to Key West, all points in between Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. More with Pat on the other side here on Miller & Moulton.
You're listening to Miller & Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Our remaining moments with Pat Kerwin, NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, weekdays 3 to 7. It's also part of CBS's NFL Today show. Pat joining us once again, courtesy of Pinchers, Tampa to Key West, dozen or so locations in between Pinchers where you can't fake fresh. All right, there's other stuff that took place from when we last spoke on Friday until now. First off, do you think the Rams were surprised by Aaron Donald? I mean, they renegotiated his contract, and 3 hours later, he sent in his retirement papers. And just, Pat, you've been around the league a long time, all right? We were talking about it. Can you mention a defensive tackle that you're sure, positive, was better than Aaron Donald?
No, I was talking to Wade Phillips about it. And Wade coached him, and Wade coached a lot of guys that were very good players, and he didn't think they compared to him. I mean, I had to answer the question, who was the greatest Ram? And I'm sure you guys ran something like a poll question on that, but I voted for Deacon Jones, and I got a lot of pushback from the young guys who don't even remember who Deacon Jones was. But, you know, I was always influenced by Bruce Allen and his father about Deacon and how, you know, before they counted sacks, they thought he had 1 year where he had 40 of them. So, you know, I'm a Deacon Jones guy. Do I think there's a tackle better? Well, you know, Warren Sapp, his reputation is shaky, of course, but Warren Sapp set the tone in my mind for what a 3 technique could be if he was very talented. So Warren did a lot of things that were awesome, to tell you the truth. Before that, the guys up in Minnesota were rolling pretty hard. At the end of the day, Aaron, and look, he might come back.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Pat. Are you sure he's done?
No, I'm not sure of that at all. The guy will stay in shape no matter what. He's a workout nut job, and he'll keep going. And he might think, after watching Joe Flacco come off the bench and have a nice run at the end, he might think, hey, if the team's good, look, he might have learned from Sue how to end your career. A couple of these late appearances for 6 weeks and a Super Bowl run. So if the Rams are really good and it's December 15th, he might come back. I don't know why he wouldn't. I think he will. It's happened many times before.
I got to admit, if he had stuck around, I think they were going to seriously challenge the Niners for the division. I mean, this sounds strange because they lost to the Lions and the Niners beat the Lions, but the Rams actually played better against Detroit than the Niners did. The Rams took it to Detroit for large portions of that game. They just weren't good in the red zone, and all their offseason moves, Pat, have basically been to get bigger and tougher inside the 20. I think the Rams are going to be a sneaky 12-win team this year.
I think you're all over who they are. And it'll be tough to do without Aaron Donald, mainly because they have to run all the protections to Aaron Donald. So now the pressure is going to be spread out to the outside rushers, which was where they're not great. But I think if they can just hang in there and be right in the middle of this thing, we'll see Aaron Donald again. I would never bet against that.
Pat, I remember, you know, before free agency started, you liked the safety pool. Is there a pool, a position area of players that's still thick right now?
Yeah, there's three. I knew you'd ask me, Mark. So three of them, by the way, I look at availability, cornerbacks, wide receivers, and safeties. You can still tap into free agency and look at those. Cornerbacks, Steve Nelson, Gilmore's in there, Adoree Jackson, Xavier Howard, Tre'Davious White, Fulton. You go over to the safeties, Justin Simmons, Micah Hyde, Quadre Diggs, Blackman, even Jamal Adams. So you can get a safety, you can get a corner. And as I said, when looking at breaking down people's running backs, there are five teams that only have three running backs. So we know they're going to go to the draft. You got to go to camp with no less than five. So if you get one in the draft and then you want to tap free agency, you still have Zeke, you have Patterson, you have Kareem Hunt, Foreman. You can still get a running back. Those are the three pools that are still okay. Most of the other ones are exhausted.
Your thoughts on the Jets signing of Tyron Smith, a one-year deal. He played in the most number of games last year that he had played in a while. Cowboys handled him differently last year. He hardly ever practiced. He worked out on the side. Your thoughts? I mean, the Jets are going with two 33-year-old tackles, one guy they cut a few years ago, and Tyron, who when healthy is terrific, but he ain't always healthy.
Yeah, they're trying to become the oldest team in football. I mean, if you look at their roster with, you know, Rodgers and everybody else, you start to realize that when this bubble bursts, and it will because that's the way life is, they're old, they're going to have a lot of holes in that roster. So they're making this run for right now, and I don't even know if they're good enough to make that run, but they're doing it. The guy who's crying the hardest is David Bakhtiari, because I'm sure he thought Rodgers will get me to the Jets, and now with Tyron there, he's not coming. I don't like taking older guys with bad backs, and that's who he is. And sometimes the young guys who have good work ethic, when they see the old guys never practicing and playing in the games, it's not good for the way those guys develop their own work habits.
You sure Bakhtiari's not going to end up with the Jets? I mean, why wouldn't they just go get another old tackle?
Yeah, I think that kind of question is almost realistic with the Jets. If Rodgers wants, Rodgers gets, but where are they going to put him? So they probably shouldn't have gotten Moses, told David, go over and play right tackle. But another medical risk. You know, so I don't know where they're going with this. Does anyone think, I asked Jim this question yesterday, does anybody think their moves have put them into contention for the division title?
Well, I do think it's fair, though, to say that the Bills roster is not as good today as it was 10 days ago, and the Dolphins roster is not as good today as it was 10 days ago. Now, the Jets lost a couple, you know, a pass rusher, but, I mean, Pat, these two tackles, question marks galore, are a hell of a lot better than the two tackles they had last year.
They are, but do you think they'll play 17 games?
Hell no.
Yeah, so here comes December. They break down. This has happened to me because I signed a bunch of old tackles. David Alexander was one of them, the center. He broke down. And so where are they going to be when we're in a stretch run after Thanksgiving? You got to think of these older guys as potentially unavailable. So maybe you're right, Mark. Bakhtiari, then bring him in.
You can't have, I mean, you can't have enough bodies, and I don't think any of these guys are going to play 17 games. So why not have three or four of them? That's just the way I think.
There's nothing wrong with the way you think. That is potentially the way it should be. Personally, I would be drafting one. There's a nice fat group of rookie tackles in this draft. I would get a developmental tackle right now and really say to myself, next year, probably Tyron and Moses will be gone. I got to get the guy who's going to step in and take over.
Yeah, if they take Brock Bowers at 10, I think it'd be a huge mistake. They definitely need to draft a tackle. How does one of the three best offensive lines in the league sign Kevin Zeitler? I mean, the Lions signing of Zeitler, who grades out as one of the best guards in the league. I know he's 34, but he can play.
I like Zeitler a lot. Paul Alexander still works with him, so I get a lot of intel about how he's doing and how serious he still is. He went to the perfect place.
Yes.
This is the offensive line heaven. They are prideful of how they play in the O-line. There's so much toughness in the group. They're actually going to look up to him, and they're already tough without him. He'll be a leader on that team, and they'll love having him, and he'll love being there. Lunch pail offense.
He's Pat Kerwin. NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, which is weekdays 3 to 7. He joins us twice a week throughout the NFL season until it gets really slow, which is post-draft. Then it's once a week, and he's brought to you courtesy of Pinchers. Pinchers from Tampa to Key West and all points in between. Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. Good luck with your brackets, Pat.
Yeah, and I'll talk to you guys Friday. Owners meetings start Sunday in Orlando. Plenty of stuff will go on there.
Ask Jera if he's all in for us, will you? Miller and Moulton.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes before the hour. Kicking it around today. The tournament gets underway tonight. 10 hours from now. True TV, baby. Go find it. You haven't watched anything on it in 366 days. Leap year, you know. It's an extra day. Nothing. So go find it. True TV, you need it for this week.
Yes, you do.
The whole week, and then you can forget about it again for another 360 days. So for those of you, you know, cutting the cord, you moved, or just make sure you have it.
Cutting the cord has hit me in two spots. The Florida Bally's, which you got to pay an exorbitant sum for them that I'm not willing to do yet. I'm getting closer.
Okay.
And no NHL Network.
Hmm.
That's bit me in the tuchus a couple of times. I've been ready to watch a game, and because I have the ESPN Plus, so I'm of the assumption I get every hockey game.
Right.
Except for those on NHL Network and Florida Panther games. And that's tough because the Florida Panthers are a great watch.
They are. And that's why the playoffs will be great, because you'll be able to get every Florida Panthers game, of which there could be many. So can you humor me more than you already do?
I'll at least try.
Okay. It was a loaded question. I didn't mean to do that. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. And go vote in our poll question, which is you could have UConn, Houston, and Purdue. Or you could have the other 65 teams. Who are you taking? And apparently you guys are thinking that, you know, none of those consensus top three. I mean, they've been the teams ranked number one this whole calendar year so far. And you're like, yeah, they're not winning. Okay. It's like 3-1 taking the field, I think, at last glance. That Mark Miller, the David Moulton, Miller underscore Moulton on X. Okay. Mark, you're a Penix guy, right?
Yes.
Trent, you like Penix? Like, you think of him as a first rounder in the, you're drafting in the late 20s, or, you know, I would trade up into the late 20s to take Michael Penix as my quarterback of the future, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Curious, do either one of you think that way about Bo Nix?
I don't.
Okay. Mel Kiper, you know, listen, he's just got to produce content. Mel Kiper is Bo Nix going 12 to Denver. He has five of the top 12 being quarterbacks.
Well, and I've heard Nix to Denver as well. I mean, just, you know, in what we read and study, Kiper's not the first one to say that.
Right.
That's been out there for a little while.
I'm now, not that far off on Nix, by the way. I mean, he's multiple places, had success in both schools. You know, that's got to count for something.
Did he have success at Auburn?
Well, statistically, his tape. Yeah, he has good tape.
On his ankles and wrists.
That's a good one.
So, here are the teams drafting in the 20s. So, you guys are the GMs of all of these teams when they come up. And you both are thinking, you know, I like Michael Penix. I'm very comfortable with Michael Penix being my quarterback of the future. Right?
Right.
You both just said that.
Yep.
Okay. The Steelers are at 20.
Not now with the moves they've made.
Dolphins are 21.
That's interesting.
Of course it is, because are you doing now, in theory, between now and the draft, are the Dolphins doing that deal with Tua?
By the way, though, they could keep almost the exact same playbook down to the fact that Penix is a lefty. That would be remarkable if those two shared a QB room.
Now, the Eagles are at 22. That doesn't seem – okay. The Vikings are at 23.
That's
depending on what they do at 11. Right. And also, they have a couple different options at 23. Most people think they're going to go corner because their pass defense was bottom five in the league. And, you know, Flores blitzes so much, the corners are on an island a lot. And that, you know, so a couple of guys have been mentioned. If one of the Alabama corners is available, this Cooper DeJean guy from Iowa who's injured, but before he got injured, he was definitely seen as a first rounder. Okay, so a lot of people have cornered to the Vikings. I'm going to throw this out there. What if the Vikings decide they don't want to pay Justin Jefferson? Or the Vikings are going to trade JJ and take a wide receiver at 23? And then their starting two wide receivers will be a second-year guy and a first-year guy. I'm just saying, are they going to give 5 years, $140 million to Justin Jefferson?
Would you? Well, that's okay. A bad question. Of course you would. You love diva receivers. I apologize. That's a bad question.
Now that's assuming that the Vikings actually stay at 11 and 23 and don't trade up. Okay. Cowboys. I mean, they retooled Dak's little $5 million roster bonus here, bonus. They save $4 million against the cap by doing it. How's the negotiations going on that long-term deal for
They're not.
Okay, thank you. So at 24, if you're the Cowboys, if you don't get a deal with Dak by the draft and Penix is on the board, you're the Cowboys. You taking them?
David, I hope they do.
Yes or no?
I hope they do. I don't think that they will.
But I agree.
The fact if they're all in and went quarterback, the world would freak out. If they took a quarterback, the sports world would freak the you-know-what out. I would love it. Nothing would make me happier than for the Cowboys to take Penix there, but I don't think there's a chance in hell that it would happen.
Well, they don't have any leverage on Dak right now. Give them leverage. Packers are at 25.
They're not going to do that.
What about Tampa Bay at 26?
I don't think so.
No. We're not predicting if they're going to do it. I'm saying if you were the general manager of the Bucs, you think Michael Penix is a franchise quarterback. You're not saying he's the top 5-6 guy in the league, but you think Michael Penix by his third year in the league would be a top 15 quarterback in the league, top 12?
Yeah, I don't know how much. If it's top 12, then the answer is, if you think it's top 12, then the answer is yes. If you think it's top, you know, 15 to 18, isn't that what you already have with Baker?
But Baker's, you know, about to turn 30 in a year. Remember, Baker was the first pick of the 2018 draft. This is his seventh season in the league coming up. But you've got him under contract. I'm just wondering, if you were the Bucks, remember, this is your scouting report. Deep down, you feel, you're Jason Light at this moment in time. You feel Penix is a quarterback of the future guy. Do you do it? Just wondering. Okay. Now, obviously, teams can trade in the late 20s. Arizona's at 27.
Now, that's incredibly interesting because they don't believe they have their quarterback.
We don't think so. You know, this new regime had him for half a season. That contract's just kicking in, though. That contract is a problem.
But we have seen with what Denver did with Russ, teams are willing to throw these guys. At least a team has been willing to say, don't care what the hit is, I'm done with this guy. And the only way to do that, David, is to draft a rookie quarterback that you get 4 years of salary relief from while you're getting out of the jam that you are from cutting a quarterback like that.
Now, I do think as we do this drill that you could see the places where other teams who are drafting in the early to mid-second rounds, these are the teams I'd call to try to trade in for. You know, Tampa at 26, maybe Arizona at 27.
Tampa for sure at 26.
Green Bay at 25. You know, Packers have a bunch of picks in the top 100. You know, they may say, it's our highest pick. I really don't want to keep going back. I got a bunch of twos and threes. But, you know, make me an offer I can't refuse. I got to admit, Dallas needs bodies, and they need cheap bodies. Maybe Dallas would be a candidate at 24. You know, Eagles at 22. So anyway, there's a lot of teams here where you could see where you could trade in. Miami needs picks. They have a one, a two, then they don't have anything to the fifth. Okay. Buffalo's 28. Obviously, they wouldn't go there. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Detroit.
I'd love to know what they're thinking of Hendon Hooker in his development, you know, to give you an honest answer there.
He was barely healthy enough to practice.
I know,
year, wasn't he?
Right.
But you're running the Lions now. Your view of Michael Penix, you're running the Lions. All of a sudden, you're on the clock at 29, and you're turning around, looking at one another, going, "Penix is still on the board, isn't he?"
I'd take him
because you got a big, you know. Right now, I mean, golf's fine. Golf's good. Taking a team to a Super Bowl. Took another team to an NFC Championship game. Can't badmouth Jared Goff. Okay? But also, Goff's contract's up here in a year or so. You got to, you know, if Jared Goff's your future, between 45 and 50. Make no bones about it. It's between 45 and 50 million. So when Michael Penix is on the board, the question is, are we re-signing golf in a year to four for 180 or five for 2.25? Or are we going to take Penix and ride this golf thing out and turn it over to him? When he's in his early 30s, we're going to put the 25-year-old lefty in there and say, sling it around, big fella. Trent?
I think at 29 years old, you can give Goff one more contract. He earned it last season, and as a fan, I'd use 29 for someone who can contribute away.
But
not as a fan, as GM.
You're the GM of the Lions,
yeah.
And when the draft started, you thought Michael Penix was a top 12 quarterback in this league by the time he turned 25. Now he's on the clock. You're not going to take him.
I wouldn't, no.
Okay, fair enough. Ravens at 30, obviously no. Niners at 31, no. And the Chiefs at 32, no. So anyway, the teams in the 20s, there are some interesting scenarios there. If Penix is the one, if he's the Will Levis of this draft, and he's sitting there, any of those teams turn around? Because let's face it, the Packers did not think that they were taking Aaron Rodgers when they took him.
Right.
You know, the Packers didn't know if Jordan Love was going to get in their area code before moving up three spots to grab him. They were drafted in the late 20s. I think they moved up to 26 to get him. So I just wanted to just throw that out there. You know, you're all thinking about the draft and this, that, and the other thing. And if Penix is the one, so.
I like where your head's at. I'd like the scenario more likely that someone would come up because there are so many of those teams that could use more draft capital. The Dolphins. I think the Bucks could still use bodies. The Cowboys could use bodies. I think in the 20s, you would see someone more. The likelihood to me would be someone would go up and get him more than one of the teams we talked about taking him.
I mean, if you're New England, are you counting on Penix falling into the 20s and you could do whatever that you want at three? May take Marvin Harrison, auction off the pick. Goodness knows you got the worst roster in the league. I'm all for auctioning off the number three pick in this draft if I'm the Patriots.
You are more than anyone, aren't you, with the Patriots, of not taking a quarterback and just building the roster this year?
Well, also, it depends on who that quarterback is. Like, if it was Jaden Daniels available at three, I'd take him. But if it's Drake May, no, not doing it. I really don't want to take a quarterback from the Patriots this year. My roster's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm going to literally waste two of his four cheap years, and I could break him during those years. I got no one to throw to and no one to pass protect for him. Besides that, this is a hell of a gig. I want Jacoby Brissett to get beat up this year. It's why I'm paying him $8 million.
I think their line's a touch better than that. The receivers and running backs, I'm with you. I do think they've got a couple of key pieces on the line. They re-signed one of them. But all in all, this is a bad roster. I do think they're a couple of the line guys they have are the right way to build the team.
Okay. The point stands. You don't want to take a rookie quarterback and throw him on a terrible team.
I don't, because it's a bad roster. I'm wasting two of his cheap years. To be honest with you, I'm probably going to draft in the top five next year. And believe it or not, the quarterback class next year is actually pretty damn good. I mean, I saw Quinn Ewers ranked as like the eighth best quarterback prospect in next year's draft, which is funny because I think if he came out this year, he'd be fourth.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers or J.J. McCarthy, who would you take?
Exactly.
Ewers.
By the way, Dolphins just converted Bradley Chubb's salary into a signing bonus and created $11 million in cap room. See how that works?
So never worry about the cap. They'll figure it out. Miller and Moulton, along the network, thanks so much for listening. And the 239, the Diamond District Bonus Hour, that comes up next.